The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Oh, I've got to play your kink song I found at the weekend that I've never heard before. I'll play that in a bit. 0344-499-1000. The weekend starts here, guys. No, hang on. That's incorrect. The weekend ends here. This is the late night alternative. Who are you?
Catherine Boyle.
I'm Ian Lee, and this is Tanya. Good evening, Tanya. Good evening, Tanya. Or is it Tanya? 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 Lady! Lady! Hello? Give her a call back, Sam. I really want to speak to that lady.
What's going on there?
Tanya, Tanya.
See, I'd say Tanya, but you probably say Tanya.
Tanya. So it turns out having, how long have we been in this building? 5 weeks?
Yeah.
Turns out having stomachache for 5 weeks is probably a bad thing.
I think so.
I shit myself on a hammock.
Well.
At the weekend. Actually had to go and have a shower at the weekend. That happened. And I've still got stomachache, still not feeling great. And I booked a doctor's appointment for a week's time. I could die within that week. I could die within that week. Tanya, Tanya, Tinya.
Hello, my love. How are you?
Very well. I've got a grotty stomach for 5 weeks, and everyone's tweeting me going, "You should go to the doctor." I have booked a doctor's appointment for 1 week's time. I will be going to the doctor, and I will be telling you all about it. I just hope it's not fatal.
Me?
Well, I hope you're not fatal. I'm hoping my stomach rot.
I'm disabled old woman, and I go around in my mobility scooter.
I didn't ask, but thanks for the information. I'm an able-bodied middle-aged man, and I go around in trainers.
I would like to... the reason I'm phoning you is because I have something to say.
Oh, I'll be the judge of that.
Because I was born in 1957, and I'm
happy birthday.
Isolated.
Yes.
I don't talk very much, but I'm going to talk now.
Hang on a minute. I have evidence to the contrary on that last statement.
Well, Nick Ferrari is obviously calling people evil.
Okay. Can I interrupt you there?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Ferrari's on a different radio station. So if you've got beef with him... May I suggest...
No, I don't, my love. I don't.
Well, you just started a conversation about a host who's on a different radio station, my dear.
I know, but I'm old and I forget myself.
No, I'm not allowing that. No. Hang on a second. I'll be the judge as to whether you're about to say it. Being old is not an excuse for talking about someone who's on another radio station. So don't give me that bullshine, all right? What would you like to say?
Oh, I see. You remind me of...
another presenter on LBC, probably. Okay, fine.
No, presenter on the talk show that always edits and shuts people down when they want to talk.
Are you talking about James O'Brien? Who are you talking about now?
Well, I just want to
I don't edit people. I just like accuracy.
Okay, what would you like me to say...
Accuracy. Goodbye.
Accuracy.
That's what I'd like you to say. Goodbye. But, okay. I'd just like you to say all
what
that.
What would you like me to say?
Goodbye.
It's as quick as that.
Sorry? Well, you say it, but try and make it accurate. And if it's not accurate, I will pull you up.
Okay. I think that the persecution of Karen Matthews... is unnecessary.
For those who don't know, let me just fill in a little bit of the blanks. She's the woman who faked her daughter's kidnap and actually hid her daughter under her uncle's bed, I think, so that she could get some money.
Right.
I think she probably deserves to be persecuted. Yeah, I think she probably does.
Okay, so I was accused of murdering my mother.
Well, that escalated
quickly. And it wasn't
quickly.
True.
Okay, but she actually did...
But if I had been found guilty...
Of murder.
And I had been persecuted...
Yes.
Yeah, matricide.
Yes.
I wouldn't be able to walk along the street.
No, you'd be in prison.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Now, they found me innocent.
Right.
which of course I always was.
So you got away with it. I mean, you hadn't done
Sorry?
It. You hadn't done it.
Sorry?
I'm going to confuse it. You hadn't, I'm trying to do two things at once. You hadn't done it.
No.
Why did they think you'd done it?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for the loss of your mum.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, people...
But she did... Cara Matthews did what she's been accused of doing.
What she did was absolutely...
Right. Awful.
Unforgivable.
All right, but you want to forgive her?
No. What I'm trying to say is that she has served her sentence.
What do you think? What do you think her kid is? Do you think her kid is happy?
I think if I was her child, I would probably never want to know about the history.
Yes.
To be quite honest.
Well, I would think. Well, who knows? Who knows what's going through that young woman, as she will be now, young woman's head? I don't quite see the connection between you being accused of murdering your mum and the Karen Shannon Matthews story. So you're upset because Nick Ferrari on another radio station said what? That Karen Matthews was evil?
Yes.
Right. Why are you phoning me, Ian Lee, on talk radio, a different radio show, to complain about Nick Ferrari? I mean, I get
because
it.
I want you to define evil. My father was an Auschwitz survivor.
The what? Sorry?
I know what evil is.
Right, you know what evil is. Okay, fine. Well, then why do you need me to define it?
Because Nick Ferrari has a lot of power.
No, he doesn't.
And when he calls people evil...
Yes.
He doesn't know what evil is.
What is evil?
Evil is
344-499-1000. What is evil? Okay, yes.
Evil is a person that kills another person...
No.
And watches them suffer.
Okay, so there's a very specific definition of evil. It's someone who kills someone slowly and watches them suffer. That's the only definition of evil, is it?
Well, I mean, as far as my father told me, he was in the Holocaust.
This just when you think it can't escalate no more, it escalates even further. That is evil. The Holocaust was evil.
Evil is a very, very dangerous word.
Yeah.
Now, Karen Matthews, and I've watched the documentaries.
Did you watch the documentary? Did you watch the documentary?
Yes, I have.
The documentary?
And to me,
let me finish.
Hello.
Did you watch
I don't mean to interrupt.
No, you just won't stop talking. Did you watch Did you watch the documentary?
Yes.
No, hang on. Jeff, did you watch the documentary or did you watch the drama?
Both.
Okay. Well, you've got all parts covered. Don't believe everything you see on television, of course.
I don't, because my father told me don't believe in propaganda.
Your father sounds like a very wise gentleman.
He was interned in Auschwitz for being a political...
Gosh.
You know. But what I'm trying to say,
yes.
What I'm trying to get across, which is what you're not listening to, and
I'm listening to every single word of this.
Is that we live in a society now where labels are very, very important.
That I'd agree with.
So when you label... I mean, Myra Hindley is what I call evil.
Okay, but then some people might call what Karen Matthews did evil. I get that. It was totally effed up, wasn't it?
But...
Do you know Karen Matthews?
No.
Why are you defending? Well, you don't say. Of course, you don't. Some people know her. So why are you
defending
her?
When I look at her, I can see a human being that is not. She looks like a child.
That's irrelevant.
Well, what is relevant?
The fact that she faked the kidnap of her daughter and hid her under a bed, in the wake of. Madeline McCann, just so that she could get some money. Those are the important facts.
Oh, that's evil. That's calculated and evil.
Right, but that's what she... But hang on a minute. So Nick Ferrari was right then. She's evil.
No. Nick Ferrari is labelling people evil when he doesn't know... He wouldn't know an evil person.
You've just labelled her evil.
Well, look... She's a woman that has paid the price.
But she was evil.
Do you agree? Do you agree or not?
No.
So you would put her in the stocks and throw tomatoes
no,
on her?
I don't know. I don't know
like
where you.
Hundreds of years ago.
Literally didn't say that.
No, but I said it.
Okay, well, didn't. So you said I would. No, I think that would be inappropriate.
So what do you think would be appropriate now?
Well, I don't know. It's a very huge thing. Yes, she's served her term in prison that has been set by the state. But is that reparation for the hideous evil crime that she did? Probably not. It goes deeper than that. It's more spiritual than that, isn't it?
And James Bulger's killers?
I don't want to go down a list.
No, I'm just trying to figure out the way British people think. Now, Karen Matthews made a big mistake.
No. She didn't make a big mistake. As you just said, she did something cold and calculated and evil. That wasn't a mistake, hiding her daughter under the uncle's bed, as I remember.
Of course it wasn't.
You literally just said it was, so that's why I'm a little bit confused.
No. What I'm saying is that she probably has got mental health issues.
Doesn't detract from the fact, we don't know that. I don't think there's been any report that says that she has got mental health issues. But even if she did, that would not detract from the hideous, heinous, evil crime that she committed.
So do you think that Nick Ferrari is right by saying she's pure evil?
I think Nick Ferrari's a prick.
Oh. Okay. I agree with you.
There we go then. But you said she was evil.
No, if you were a judge and jury on Karen Matthews now that she's left prison, what would you like to happen?
Yeah, well, judge and jury, what?
Asked you a question.
Yeah, but it didn't make any sense.
No, if now Karen Matthews has left prison.
Yes. But that you're arguing
to... No, I'm just asking you, what do you think should happen?
You have said yourself that what she did was evil.
Of course.
But you're arguing that she's not evil.
No, I'm saying that I watched the documentary and I think she's not well.
Right, so what? I think she had mental health.
And did the social services know, because they must have known... That something was wrong.
What's your evidence that she's got mental health issues?
Her face.
Her face?
Yeah.
How does... Now, you know more about this than I do. How does a face give away mental health issues?
Well, this is probably not going to make any sense to you.
Well, so far, none of it has, so it's nothing new.
Well, okay, I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but... When I was a kid, and I was watching TV...
Yeah.
What was it called?
Police 5?
No.
Jamie and his magic torch.
No.
That was a great show.
Don't take the mickey.
That was a great show, though.
No, the guy with the grey hair that made everybody wishes come true. What's his name?
Jim will fix it.
Quincy.
Yeah. I used to watch that when I was a kid.
Right.
And I always felt something was wrong. I couldn't put my finger on it.
Well, he could, and that was the problem.
Don't take the mickey. I'm an old disabled lady.
That's irrelevant.
All I'm trying to say is that I don't like people labeling people evil. Evil has many, many stairs.
Yes.
Okay? And my father in Auschwitz told me what was evil.
Right.
And all
but there
I'm
are different types of evil. Auschwitz was evil.
Exactly.
But Karen Matthews, you said that Karen Matthews was evil.
Karen Matthews, how can I put this?
I don't
like the fact that you have a powerful journalist labelling people evil.
But you labelled her. You labelled her evil.
Well, she's evil.
You just labelled her evil.
She's evil in her
where she hid her daughter and pretended she'd been kidnapped for money. She's evil in that way.
Put it this way.
Okay.
If I did it, and if I ever did it, I would want to be crucified.
Okay? So you've considered... Have you got children?
Yes.
You've considered... Hiding...
Considered what?
You've considered hiding and faking the kidnap of your children for money.
No.
You just said that you... Well, you must have done to know what punishment you would like.
No, I said if I ever considered it,
if you considered it, you'd want to be crucified, even if you just considered it. What about if you did it?
It's a hypothetical situation, but don't pick me up on it.
I have to pick you up by the hypotheticals.
Okay. Now, I was investigated... in 2 months, under the murder of my mother.
I'd almost forgotten that.
It destroyed
that
me. It absolutely
I bet it did. It must have been horrendous for you, Tanya.
And I was completely innocent. And it's destroyed my life.
How long ago was this?
I think it was about... 2006 or something like that.
Okay. And had your mum, how had your mum died? Had she been murdered or was it natural causes?
It was natural causes. I used to look after her as a carer. She was a chronic alcoholic.
Okay.
She fell down. I was sleeping in the basement at the time. And I come from a very dysfunctional family.
Mm.
And I was investigated for 2 months, and I have nightmares even now.
I bet you do. I can't begin to imagine how horrendous that
must
have been.
Because I was innocent.
Yeah, yeah.
And lots more besides.
Go on. You can share anything you want with us here. I'm enjoying chatting to you. I don't know if you're enjoying it, but I'm enjoying it.
Ben.
Go on.
Ben. Then I hit somebody.
You hit somebody?
Yeah.
In what way did you hit them? You punched them?
No.
In a car?
No.
What do you mean you hit someone, Tanya?
I was walking along my street. Then I hit somebody. Because I was so angry. And then they put me in prison. And... I felt so ashamed of what I've done because I was looking after my mum and my dad and my son, and both my parents were alcoholics and my son was on drugs, and I just got to the point where I couldn't deal with it anymore. So I just walked out one day. And I can't remember the rest.
Wow.
The next minute, the police were at my door, and I went to prison. And it was the worst place you could ever go.
How can I...
You can't go there if you're innocent.
How long were you in prison for?
4 months. But I did two.
Okay.
And they enhanced me.
Do you remember attacking someone?
No.
No. You must have attacked them pretty hard to get 4 months.
No, not really, because the guy that I attacked came up to me nose to nose and said he was going to cut my throat.
So you remember that bit?
I'll never forget it.
Okay, but you don't remember the actual incident? I think I'm starting to put two and two together here.
That was the first and only thing I've ever done wrong in my life.
I don't think you're an evil woman. If that's what this is all about, which I suspect it is, that Nick Ferrari's comments labelling a woman who did something horrible... and served her time.
Yeah.
The fact that he was still labelling her as evil.
Uh-huh.
Is there a part of you that thinks he was talking about you?
No, there's a part of me that thinks he was talking about me.
Yeah, yeah. I thought so. That makes a lot of sense.
You know, and...
You're not evil. I think...
Well, I know that.
Okay.
But I...
You worry about the labels.
I just worry about labels.
Yeah, of course you do.
You know, and when you... I've read lots of articles in the newspapers about people that have been, you know, vigilantes against paedophiles they thought were paedophiles, and then they turned out not to be paedophiles.
Well, there was the famous case where it was a paediatrician got attacked, wasn't it? Because people thought he was a paedophile.
Yeah, I know. And I watched this documentary today about Karen Matthews, and I felt so sorry for her.
It's tough.
And I know I shouldn't.
No, you're allowed to feel sorry for her. You're allowed to.
You know, how can I put this?
I like it when you pause to think. It means we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere good. It's been good every time so far.
Oh, well, don't psychoanalyze me, please.
It's too late. I've been doing it for the last 25 minutes. And we're putting two and two together.
No, it's just that I didn't kill my mother.
No.
I don't remember hitting the guy. But he came to me nose to nose and said he was going to cut my throat. And obviously I took the law into my own hands, for which I was punished. And through all the things I've been, I just think that maybe Karen Matthews might need a break.
I think she probably does need a break. And your sympathy and empathy for her, I think is very decent of you. I think it's a decent attitude to have to someone who did something horrendous. And you're right, probably needs a break.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for sharing all of that, Tanya.
And thank you for listening.
Absolute pleasure. You give us a call any time. Stop listening to Nick Ferrari and just listen to us. Nice to talk to you.
I will.
Thank you for the call, Tanya. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, there's a start to the week I wasn't expecting. 0344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Was such an easy game to play. Now I need a place to hide away.
Morning.
Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Wow.
I believe in yesterday. I believe in yesterday.
Alexa, give me an example of someone speaking utter bollocks and just making something up on the spot, please.
Your personal lifestyle. What did you do?
Oh. Hang on a minute. Alexa's gone crazy. Let me just get rid of this. Alexa, try that again, please. Alexa, give me an example of someone speaking utter guff.
Your personal lifestyle. What do you do to relax? What do you do to switch off?
I like to... paint, I make things. I like to...
What do you make?
I have a thing where I make models of... when I was in London, well, Mayor of London, we build a beautiful... I make buses.
You make models of buses?
I make models of buses.
So they're going to be in Downing Street.
So what I do... No, what I do make models of buses, what I make is... I get old,
Yeah, carry on.
I get old.
Yeah, come on, carry on, come on.
I get old.
Yeah, come on, you can do it.
What I make is I get old.
Okay, that is the biggest load of guff ever. And do you know who that man is? He's the man that's going to pull out of the race to be Prime Minister. That's my prediction. My prediction is. that guy is going to quit the race to be Prime Minister because he's going to realise he ain't up for the job. That's not going to happen. That man is going to quit the race. We ain't going to have ourselves in the race no more. I'm saying that first. Well done to Ross, by the way, for getting that. That's some great... I mean, that's been seen 327,000 times. Well done, Ross. That's a great bit of footage. If you've not seen it, I didn't watch it because I'm not really interested. But it's Ross Kempsel, that's his name,
yes.
Isn't it? Yeah. The political correspondent here interviewing Boris Johnson. And I saw it being tweeted and I thought, I don't really want to see it. Then my friend Scott tweeted it saying, this is the funniest thing I've ever seen. And I thought, well, if he's enjoying it, I'll have a look. Man alive. It is weird. Just a man lying. A man just like making something up off the top of his head.
Yeah, it's like, Johnson, have you done your homework? Yeah. So
awful.
I have been painting buses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just bullshine.
Mm-mm-mm. 0344-499-1000. I haven't got anything for the show today, but I'll tell you a story. So, it's great. It's not as serious a story as perhaps I've been making it up in my head, but I'll tell you where I've been today. So, as you know, I had this stomachache for, let's say 6 weeks. Should we say 6 weeks? And I've just had a stomachache for 6 weeks. And there are times when it's okay. The best, it's just uncomfortable. Right now, it's just uncomfortable. I've got terrible indigestion, but it's just uncomfortable. It's just there, just above my belly and just below my rib cage. Okay. And at worst, I'll get like sort of these hot flushes that last about 10 minutes where I think I'm going to throw up and I get sweaty and I kind of just have to sit there and ride it out. And you've been there when I've had one, said, I think I'm going to be sick. I think, and it really feels like I'm going to throw up. Haven't thrown up yet. Right. And, the pain is just generally uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. And 0344-499-1000, by the way. And, for the last 6 weeks, it's going to be unpleasant, guys. I've had my stools, use the word stools a lot today. My stools have been the colour of a very milky latte. They've been that colour, that sort of pale brown colour. And often, I would say about 50% of the time, often the same consistency as a very milky latte. Some of you will know on Sunday I was relaxing in my hammock and I shit myself. That happened. I had to go and had to throw away a good pair of pants. Good, decent, brave pants that fought long and hard for this country. They did everything they needed to do.
Aren't your balls normally held back by your willy?
Not quite. Well, maybe we'll go into that a bit later on, Catherine. They were had to be thrown away and I had to have a shower. That's the state I was in. I mean, it wasn't covered in the stuff, but I had to go and have a shower. A mere wipe was not going to suffice. And I've had a couple of incidences where it's got, you know, it's been a little bit wet, damp down there and I've had to go and change. That's fine. Here's the thing. In the last 4 weeks, I've lost over a stone. I've lost over a stone in weight. And there's part of me that's thinking, that's great. That's great because I've been trying to lose weight for ages. But now suddenly I'm like the lowest weight I've been probably in about 5 or 6 years. And I'm thinking, okay, this is great. But I kind of wish it would stop now. I wish it would stop. I've got no appetite whatsoever. I was hungry this morning, actually, but that's the first time in weeks. No appetite. I just eat because I know that you're supposed to eat. If you don't eat, that's bad, isn't it? That's a bad sign, Catherine. You'd back me up on that.
Yeah.
You would back me up on that.
But I also know that this job, working funny hours, we sleep a long time in the morning. Sometimes it throws your eating patterns off. And so, yeah, when you try and sort of keep regular meal times, even if you're not particularly hungry.
Yeah. So, and then there was the incident on Sunday where I grabbed myself and I kind of thought, well, okay, that's probably, you know, whatever. And it is funny.
No, at that point, I said you should go to the
doctor. Yeah, you did. And it's funny. It's fine. I said it, you know, mocks it, kind of semi. Well, I said it seriously on Sunday, but I also said it knowing it was going to get a laugh because it's funny. It's a funny thing. But yeah, you said, oh, maybe you should go to the doctor now. And that was when I was thinking, Maybe I should. I kind of thought it was a stomach bug that just wasn't going to go away. And then I couldn't get an appointment until next Wednesday. And then the seed was in my head yesterday. I was thinking, oh, I'm panicking a bit. Maybe I've got terrible indigestion and terrible wind. My farts just stink like, honestly, like nobody's business. It's like there's 100 dead rats up my jacksie. I mean, awful, right? And I know my smells. I know my bum smells, right? I know them. I'm familiar with them. I like them. But these ones are horrible. I find them fascinating, if I'm completely honest. I would do them in the car and just think, what is that? But they're horrendous, right? So there's all of that. And then this morning I had to go and do a voiceover, and then I came back and I looked online. You can do these private doctor's appointments on Skype. And I'm in a privileged position. I could afford it. I think it was 30 quid or 35 quid for a 10-minute Skype session with a real doctor, which I thought that was fantastic value. If you can afford it, and if you can't get an appointment for a while, then why the hell not? Don't have a problem with it. And they can do prescriptions and things like that and referrals and things. So I logged into this thing. It's called Push Doctor. There are other services, but this one I saw got a lot of good reviews. And I paid my 30, 35 quid, and I was talking to a doctor within 5 minutes. It was incredible. And this doctor's there, and we're on Skype, and we're chatting, and I told him everything. And I said, you know, my stools are like the colour of baby's poo. And he says, well, baby's poo has lots of different colours. Is it the colour of coffee? I said, no, not really. And then he held up a milky latte, and I went, oh, yeah, no, that's the colour. That's the colour. And when I did that, I mean, I don't know I don't know if these are like experienced doctors. He seemed young. He was sucking a dummy. No, he seemed young. He was wearing diapers. No, he seemed young. But he cut his face kind of went, when I said, oh yeah, that's the color, his face went, okay. Right. As if to say, oh my God, we got a live one here. This ain't great. And then I told him I'd lost, over a stone in a month. And he was like, aha. And he said, and I showed him where the pain was, and he kind of was looking more and more serious. And he said, you've Googled this, haven't you? I said, yeah. He said, what do you think it is?
Well, hang on a minute.
No, I know. He said, what is worrying you in the back of your head? What do you think it is? And I said, well, of course, the thing that comes up with all these symptoms is pancreatic cancer. He went, yes. Yes, they do. I'm going, oh my God! And then I said, pancreatic cancer's what killed my dad. He went, ah, right. Okay. I can't refer you to a hospital on this service because we're not NHS. I certainly can't tell you that you've got pancreatic cancer because it would involve a myriad of tests, including blood tests and things like that. But what I am suggesting to you is you phone up your GP surgery now and you do your best to get around the receptionist and you get yourself seen today as a matter of emergency. I'm sat there thinking, what the flipping heck? I said, okay. He said, yeah, I don't want to worry you, but if you were my patient in a private setting or in a GP setting, I would be sending you off to hospital to get some tests done this week. He says, if you can get an appointment with the doctor today, then I would thoroughly recommend you go and do that now. I went, okay, this is at 1:10 in the afternoon. I think I'm not going to, you can't get doctor's appointments for weeks. So I phoned up the doctors and I said, I've just spoken to an online doctor and he's asked me to, I'm not going to give you the, like, they give you, he gave me like a code phrase to say, like a code phrase that's obviously gets you. And I said this code phrase and they went, okay, we have an appointment in an hour if you'd like to come in. I'm thinking, whoa, this is serious, man. So then I panicked and I phoned you up and I go, oh, I think I've got pancreatic cancer and stuff. And you very sensibly talked me down. We'll get to the fun stuff in a minute, guys. Trust me. And so then I went to the doctor's surgery and they were running half an hour late. So I'm just kind of sat there listening to the Jeremy Vine show and then the beginning of the Steve Wright show. Oh my God, the Steve Wright show. Jeremy Vine ends with Downtown by Petula Clark. Steve Wright's show starts with, well, that was great to hear Downtown. Not heard that for a while. Anyway, coming up later on in the show, we got Stephen Merchant. I'm thinking, flipping heck, man. It's like the late 80s all over again. So then I go into the doctor's, and it's a say young woman. She was in her late 30s. And I said, I've spoken to an online doctor and I've never done it before, but he suggested I come in as a matter of urgency and here are the symptoms. I've got this pain here. I've lost over a stone, in 4 weeks. I've had this stomach ache for 6 weeks. I've got these stools that are 50% diarrhea and 50% solid. They float. That's a key factor because the first doctor said, do they float? I said, I don't know. And then I went and did one and they float. That's not a great sign. And I said, I've got that. And, you know, and here's my dad died of pancreatic cancer. And here's my, I'm really worried. I've got pancreatic cancer. She went, yeah, doesn't sound great, does it? And I went, no. She goes, right, what we're going to do is we're going to get you on the table and you're going to pull your trousers down around your ankles and lift up your top. And I had a bit of toilet tissue paper over it. First of all, she checked my chest and she was pushing me, prodding me. And then I had to turn over onto my side, pull my knees up. I've had a camera up my ass, right? And she said, and I said to her, I'm really sorry for presenting you with my backside on a Tuesday afternoon. And she did, I said she chuckled, she laughed on Twitter. She didn't really laugh. She sort of just shrugged it off and went, ah, don't worry about it. I see it all the time. And I know that they see it all the time. And I said, look, I know you do this all the time.
Yeah, it was your embarrassment.
You know, I feel embarrassed. I feel bad for you. And, you know, and we're going to do this and we're never going to mention it again. And she kind of chuckled at that line. And she did the old finger up the bum. And I said 30 seconds. It takes about 10 seconds just to feel around. So that,
it's
then,
the run-up that's the worst bit, isn't it?
Well, she didn't take a run-up, no. But here's the thing. She's checking my prostate, which I hadn't asked her to do, but she did. And it is the thing. I tweeted about it, and loads of people went, God, you're so brave. Getting it. Honestly, it takes 10 seconds. It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing pulling your pants down. But it's 10 seconds. She uses lube and a glove. And it's fine. It doesn't hurt. It's uncomfortable at most. It's 10 seconds. The bit that was the worst bit was when she said, okay, I'll just give you some paper so you can wipe yourself. I'm wiping my ass in a doctor's surgery. That was the worst bit. But it was fine, and I kind of joked about it, and I wiped my ass, and I put it in the bed, and I pulled my stuff out, and my trousers are hanging off me because I've lost so much weight. I'm on the tightest belt setting I've ever been on, and my trousers are still hanging off me. I've still got a gut, but they're hanging off me. And we sat down, and I said, well, that was my prostate you were checking. She went, yep, and your prostate is absolutely fine. There's nothing swollen or enlarged there. That's great. I said, okay. And she sat there, and she said, I just need to see what the protocol is in this situation. I'm thinking, what is this situation? And I'm starting to panic now. And so I said to her, so we sat there for a little bit while she's looking at the protocol, like a flow chart on a thing. If this, then go to this. Yeah. If this, go to this. And I said, I haven't got pancreatic cancer, have I? She said, well, I can't say that. What I can say is, if you have got it, then you're very, very unlucky. And I'm thinking, surely everyone that gets cancer is very unlucky. She's saying statistically, of course, if you have got it, you're very unlucky. But, and they kept using the words urgent and emergency. She says, I do consider this to be urgent, so I'm going to rush you through as an emergency. I would like you to go to reception and see if you can get your bloods taken here within the next 2 days. If you can't get it within the next 2 days, then you can go to your local Stoke Mandeville hospital. And it's like, you know, you take a number and you wait. She said, I would suggest you maybe go and do that tomorrow. I am going to recommend... put you through as an emergency ultra scan so that we can scan your stomach and that will show us if there is, a problem in, wait, in what area did I, where did I say? What cancer?
Pancreatic cancer.
She said that will show if there is a problem with your pancreas. It also show if there's anything else going on there. She said, in my opinion, with your age and at this stage, it's more likely to be, she didn't mention IBS, but she mentioned a couple of things that it could be, some irritation or something. She said, but I want to get this checked out as soon as possible. She gave me a little test tube to do a dump in. I said, I've got to do it in that. She goes, well, It's best if you do it in something else and then decant it into them. You get a little spoon to pick up poo to put into a test tube.
And oh, like an ice cream one.
Yeah, and then you've got to drop it off in the surgery, and then I've got to go back in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that's been my day. So now, of course, I'm panicking pancreatic cancer because my dad had that. And you know what the treatment is for that. There ain't none. You get 3 months. Here's the thing. I was reading about it. I probably haven't, by the way, guys. I probably haven't. But you know how I like to worry about things. The treatment for pancreatic cancer, well, if you don't have treatment, you live 3 months. If you have treatment, you might live 8 months. What? So I'm panicking through everything, thinking, oh, my God, this is awful. This is terrible. But it's probably not. It's probably not that. But, of course, I've spent the day doing death maths and thinking, right, well, what am I going to do? Great news for you, Catherine. You're going to get my entire monkeys collection, because I know that you won't sell it. You will look after it. And I'll give you the names of some people that I think might want to take it on afterwards. But you're getting that. So this is great news. This is great news for you, Catherine.
Yeah.
You're getting that.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
But here's the thing. I guess if there's any point to this, the point is, if you're ill, go to the doctors. I should maybe have gone like 2 weeks ago. Should have done that. If you're a gentleman, I've never had my prostate checked before, and I'm really glad I did, because it was fine. It was like 10% embarrassing. It was 10% embarrassing, and that was it, really. You've got to remember some people thought it was weird that it was a woman. I didn't care. Didn't care if it was a woman or a bloke. Here's the thing, because I've got doctors in the family. They look at the human body like it's their mechanics looking at a car. That is it.
Yeah, which bit's faulty.
Which is why you find so many mechanics humping cars. It's the same. It's the same thing. A lot of mechanics get done for molesting cars and putting cameras in their workshops when they're not supposed to. But it's the same thing. So I've got no problem showing a doctor any part of my body, in or out. Come and have a look at it. It's fine. So men, go and get your prostate checked. You know, you think you've got something wrong. You think maybe you haven't got something wrong. You're over 40, over 45. Go and speak to your doctor. They'll tell you whether they think it's worth doing or not. But it's nothing to be embarrassed of. And also, just, you know, go to the doctor, man.
Right.
Yeah.
I've been where you are, not quite the same thing, not the same end, but I had a scare when I was in my late 20s.
Yeah.
So I know what it's like to be the person in the middle of it, right?
Yeah.
And it's frightening.
Yeah.
As the person who cares about the person in question,
yes,
it's really reassuring to know that they are not playing games with this, right? And if there is any suspicion whatsoever, yep, you are part of and that protocol part of the conversation is the important thing, right?
Yeah.
Even though there are statistical factors that would suggest that it's very, very unlikely, I'm really glad that they go and check it anyway,
yeah,
and that they,
yes,
treat it as an emergency, because,
yes,
because for some people it will be.
Yeah, exactly. Candy says, I sent my husband to get his ass checked. He somehow managed to book himself in for a full colonoscopy. Just a finger. They shoved a camera up my ass, he said. I'm still laughing. Well, you may be laughing. Anyway, so that's been my day. How's yours been so far? 03444991000. We haven't really got a lot to talk about, because I've been doing that and worrying about that all day. And then Catherine and I went out with Greg Turkington for dinner. We had the most charming night. 11 o'clock though, Johnny Eccles, lead guitarist with the rock group Love, is coming on the show. This is the Late Night Alternative with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Do you know what it's the 10th anniversary of today?
Go on.
The 10th anniversary since I was filming episode 4 of The Persuasionists.
Oh.
Some people might remember it as the 10th anniversary of Michael Jackson's death, but I was filming episode 4 of The Persuasionists. What a night, what a life, what a world. Good evening, James.
Good evening, how are you?
All right, what you got?
Oh, basically, exactly the same as what you've had.
Here we go.
Since last October, but I've been to top nutritionists and everybody, and it's come down to basically a bit of IBS and a malabsorption syndrome, where your body doesn't stop absorbing fats, and nothing fried, nothing greased, no cheese, any of that sort
Whoa,
of stuff.
Whoa! Shut up! You're telling me that there might be a chance that I won't be able to eat cheese again?
No cheese, nothing fried, nothing greasy, nothing like that at all. Plain foods, unfortunately, and a bit of wheats as well. Dairy intolerance, wheat intolerance, the whole lot. I used to be able to eat anything at all, but now nothing.
But what brought it on? Just being old?
do you know what? I used to be so stoned as you could eat what I wanted to do. I used to travel a lot, go all, eat all the time. But it's, what brought it on? I don't know. All of a sudden, literally one morning, exactly the same sort of problem.
Been
to the doctors, had the tests, had the ultrasound, what you're going to have on your stomach, came up with nothing at all, which is great.
Yeah, that's great.
Had all the other tests, nothing at all. I wouldn't get yourself worried that much, because I had exactly the same thing, pancreatic cancer, this cancer, colon cancer, short bowel. I was thinking all the worst.
I hadn't thought of colon cancer. God.
It's literally your body. If it's the same as what I've got, it won't absorb any fats anymore.
Hang on, did you poo your pants at one point?
Not. It would have done, yeah. But I was quick enough to get.
Okay, this guy's a sprinter. Okay, all right, fine.
I think you have been running the gauntlet a bit, Ian.
I have been running the John gauntlet a little bit. Yes. How long ago was this, James?
It started last October.
Right. Okay. Okay.
And so, you know, I went straight to the doctors, got referred, this, that, everything else. I had the ultrasound within like a week.
Yeah.
Everything was the exact same symptoms, floating. It's still not great now, but you just have to keep it. I'd have to be off all anything fried, anything green.
But what's the point of living? I love cheese.
Unfortunately, if you have a family, you've got to keep going, haven't you? Keep going.
But hang on a minute. If you were to eat cheese and fried food, what is the worst that would you die, or is it just you'd just be uncomfortable
and
farty?
No, it's just literally exactly what you are. It's like water coming out the other side and it's floating and it's
okay,
just totally on the toilet. I'm literally on a diet now of gluten-free bread, egg on toast, and I shed a couple of stone very quickly, and it's just. But I went to see my daughter lives in LA and. I went to see a nutritionist out there, and they just basically said it's a massive thing which is happening. They put it down to all processed foods for so many years, and your body just gives up on it.
Oh, God. How old are you, James?
I'm 49.
Oh, okay. All right. So we're a similar age. I mean, you're significantly older, but I'm teasing. Okay. Well, that's because I know deep down it's not pancreatic cancer, because my dad died of it. I mean, of course, this is what we do, James, as human beings, as men, maybe, as human beings, probably, we jump to the worst conclusion.
Absolutely. Do you know, I hadn't been to the doctor for 5, 6, 7 years before that. I was with a bad bone. In fact, it choked the horse stood on it. So before that, that was the person I am. So,
yeah.
You know, as soon as it started, I thought, this isn't right. And it just isn't right. I can eat anything protein-wise, steaks or anything like that, an egg. Gluten-free, but anything, go near anything fried, cheese, anything like that, you know, you're in a world of hurt, really.
You lost a couple of stone, has the weight stayed off?
Yeah,
I'm up for that. I was not looking my best. I'm up for the weight coming off.
Yeah, the weight's coming off, but if anything to do with going high in fibre, almonds or raspberries or anything like that, good apples are good, bananas with potassium, but anything to do with high fat, anything, you know, real butter or real cream, forget it.
Don't say cheese again. You've said cheese quite a lot tonight. Please don't. That's trolling now. James, thank you, mate. I hope I don't come across as a whingy. I was genuinely. I had a couple of hours of terror today.
I was on to every professional in the country trying to get it sorted out. And, you know, in the end, it is sorted, but it's never going to be right. And it is IBS. So it's an intolerance of all buildup of fat. I think hopefully you'll be on the phone with what I am.
Hey, nice one, James. I really appreciate your call. You've put me at ease. Thank you very much. Cheers, my dears.
Cheers, bye bye.
There we go. What a nice guy. I wish he'd stop saying cheese, though. That's, what kind of curse is this? This is karma. This is, people talk about karma's going to come and bite you on the ass. Well, this is karma. If I'm not allowed to have cheese, what's the point? There's no life. This is torture.
You can get dairy-free cheese.
No, you can't.
You can.
No, you can't. They call it cheese. It's like dairy-free cheese.
Yeah.
It's not cheese. It's... cheese.
Well, it depends whether you want to cack yourself.
I would be prepared to take the risk for a bit of stinking bishop. I really would. I'd wear an adult nappy to go for a cheese board.
I know what you're getting for Christmas.
There we go, exactly. Give me some tenner for Christmas. Whack them on and we get the cheese out. I'm sorted.
Like a reverse creosote.
I'm prepared to do that. Last night we had a call from Andre. It was a bit sad, wasn't it?
Well, It was concerning in that he seemed a little out of sorts.
He seemed out of sorts. Well, Andre's back tonight. Andre, are you in sorts?
Excuse me.
Yes?
Excuse me. Ian, right, there's two sides to this conversation I'm going to have with you tonight, yeah?
Okay.
First is the funny side, yeah?
Yes.
How is the hammock?
It's been cleaned.
The first thing you should have done was took a sample straight in there without mucking about. I would have.
Okay. You'd have taken just a sample from my bottom.
Do it in a tank and take it, whisk it straight up there. Yes,
okay. I don't think the doctors really like people just randomly bringing up
poo.
Jars and Tupperware tubs of poo.
Just put that on the
cartons of
table.
Cack.
There you go.
Okay.
Right, but I'm not joking, because I'm a bit worried about you. You sure it's not food poisoning or anything like that?
Not for 6 weeks.
No? Well, it could be.
Well,
you've been in the jungle.
Yeah, that was 19 months ago.
Oh, you know.
Slow burner if it is.
What could it be? I'm a bit worried about it.
Okay.
You're losing weight. You're eating properly, yeah?
No, I'm not.
You're eating enough.
I've got no appetite. I'm only eating because... Why couldn't we go to you first and the other guy that's put my mind
I don't know why you didn't go to him rather than the doctor, Ian.
well, look, you know the appointment in the hospital?
Yes, sir.
Can you get there all right? Do you want a lift?
Don't
own me car, but...
Actually, I could do with a lift, yeah. Can you get to Aylesbury?
Aylesbury Duck?
No,
There's a joke about that, actually, isn't there?
Probably involves swearing. Aylesbury...
How far away from where you are?
Well, Aylesbury's where I am. It's where I live.
Yeah, how far is that from Basildon?
Quite far.
He's off now.
More than 50 miles.
Let's have a look. Let's go to Google Map. We're going to go to... Right, so from Basildon...
Yeah, Aylesbury.
Yeah, that'll do. To Stoke Mandeville. Mm-hmm. It is 68.6 miles. It'll take you an hour and a quarter.
Yeah. Do you want me to take you?
Yeah, please. I'd love that. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah, where will you be?
Well,
At the studio, or where?
Well, no, I don't live at the...
Oh, call me after the show, Ian, yeah?
Okay.
If you definitely want me to...
I need you to take me...
And we'll have a bit of a giggle, yeah?
Huh?
On the way.
I don't want you talking to me on the way.
I'll cheer you up.
I'll
cheer you up.
I don't want you...
Yeah, I don't want you farting on the way.
Okay.
I'm doing.
All right.
Give us a buzz later. I'm free tomorrow, yeah?
All right, Andre. I'll give you a call later on. You can take me to the hospital. It's very kind of you.
All right. You won't forget, will you?
You will.
I will not...
You won't forget.
I will not forget. I look forward to...
text me and I'll see it first thing in the morning, yeah?
All right. The thing is, I need to go first thing in the morning. I need to leave at 8:30 a.m.
Oh, I ain't going to get out there quick enough, am I?
Well, it depends what time you leave. You probably have to leave...
How far is the hospital from there?
Sorry?
How far is the hospital from where you are?
It's about 15 minutes.
Well, I could probably do it then, couldn't I?
Yeah. So if you leave yours at about 7 in the morning...
Yeah.
And then get to
me...
Yeah,
but 8:15 or whatever, yeah?
Get to me for about 8:30, and then we can... As long as I'm at the hospital by 9, I want to be first in the queue.
Well, don't text me after the show, yeah?
Yeah.
But when you get in your car, go to the toilet before you get in.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
I'll take you there. How's that?
Okay.
All right, then.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant.
Right, text us later, yeah?
Thanks a lot, Andre.
Right, cheers. See ya.
There we go. Well, that is never going to happen, but it's a very nice offer, and one I suspect was actually genuine.
I don't understand his maths, right? Because he was worried about how long it would take to get to yours.
Yeah.
But then seemed reassured that it was only 15 minutes from yours, so it won't take very long then, will it?
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Dear listener, it's criminal to talk over this music. It's punishable by death in some parts of the world, and I can only apologise if you haven't. You've all got Forever Changes. Everyone's got a copy of Forever Changes. Go out and buy another copy of Forever Changes. It's a masterpiece, and while you're there, go and buy the first two Love albums, Love and Da Capo. And then while you're there, go and treat yourself to some of the later stuff. Like, I know Johnny's not on it, but I want Mummy plug in Reel to Reel, which is a great album, and Love for Sale. What a record. What records? Love, in inverted commas, with Johnny Eccles are doing their last ever tour of the UK. Me and Kath are going to go and see them next Friday. We're taking the night off work to go and see them. And always a little bit nervous when I speak to an absolute legend. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Mr. Johnny Eccles. Good evening, Johnny! Oh, hang on, the wrong fade out. Let's do that again. Johnny, stay there. Smooth. I'm nervous. Johnny, stay there. We're going to come to you in a second. Let's try that again. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Mr. Johnny Eccles. Good evening, Johnny.
Good evening. How are you?
I'm very well, man. How are you doing? It worked this time.
Doing wonderful.
You're good, are you? When did you get to the UK?
Actually, this morning we got here. Well, it was this morning our time, but it was afternoon your time, around 2 p.m. So.
No wonder you sound a little bit tired, brother.
Yeah, it was brutal.
This is the last tour, isn't it?
Of the UK, yes. We'll be still playing in the US, but this is the last tour of the UK, yes.
What did we do to offend you, Johnny? Did we say something? We're sorry. Is it Brexit? I apologize.
Well, yeah, it was Brexit. We got together and talked about it and said, man, we can't do this again.
It's just everybody's getting older, because listen, I'm not going to say your age, but I know you are a gentleman of an age. But then also the Love Revisited band, Baby Lemonade, as a lot of people will know them, those guys, and no disrespect, those guys are old now as well.
That's right, we're all long in the tooth, so hell, we just decided, you know, because it's expensive running walkers and all of that stuff and having a nurse on hand, you know, and so we decided, damn, it's too expensive, so we'll do this.
I wish you the very best of luck with this tour. Like I say, me and my friend Catherine, we are taking the night off work next Friday. This is how much we want to see it. We're cancelling the radio show. We're going to come and see you guys. Still fun? You still enjoying it?
Absolutely. It's a blast. I love it. It's so much fun, and getting to travel all over the world and meet such really cool people. It's just a blast.
Because I've seen you a few times, Johnny. I met you at a gig couple of years. I don't remember how long ago it was. I've seen you play without Arthur Lee. I've seen you play with Arthur Lee. And boy, oh boy, what a thrill it was for me and for a lot of people seeing the two of you on stage. How different is it? How difficult is it as well, I guess, without having Arthur there?
Well, you know, his presence is always there. You know, I always look to my right and there's a presence always there. But, you know, playing with these guys, we played together for so long.
Yeah.
And they were such a part of Arthur's life that it's a continuum, you know, and they play the music spot on, and they're really great people and fun to be around, so it's a blast. Yeah.
Actually, I'm asking how difficult it is without Arthur there. Of course, Arthur famously could be a very difficult man to work with. It could be argued that he was his own worst enemy at times.
Well, see, that's the thing. It's kind of a misnomer, because Arthur may have been difficult, but that was only with people that he didn't know.
If right.
He knew you, he'd give you the shirt off his back, and he was just, you know, a wonderful human being. But then he just didn't suffer fools gladly, you know, when people were kind of idiotic, he would treat them the same way.
Yeah.
As long as you were cool with him, he was cool with you.
Of course, Arthur gets all of the attention, but it was a band. There were several. Was it? There were five of you originally, weren't there?
Yes, there were.
And I've got a lot of time and a lot of love for Brian McLean as well. I mean, I wonder what it's like. You know, when was the last time you saw Brian before he passed?
Oh, it was a couple of years before he died, because we had talked of getting together, bringing everybody back together.
Wow.
And touring. And so we chatted, and I came by. I was living in New York at the time, and I came to see him, and we chatted. And we were, whatever, you know, kind of difficulties we may have experienced in the past, it was all just let go, and we were ready to do it again. But no, Brian was an absolute genius. I loved him. He played wonderful songs, wrote beautiful songs, and he was a fine guitar player, so it was a joy to work with him.
And, you know, a very beautiful young man. And just what a voice as well he had as well.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
What was the dynamic between Brian and Arthur? Because, I'm you know, all I can go by is what I've seen in concert and on video. And Brian looked very quiet and introspective. And Arthur, you know, could be very loud and upfront. How did they work together?
Well, there was always kind of a friendly rivalry because they dated the same ladies.
Right.
So you could say that Brian may have been Arthur's muse because he kind of fed off of Brian's energy. And Brian actually, because Love Before Brian, we were basically a cover band.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, we did have a couple of songs that were written by the group, but we basically played the top 40 and we were more in the R&B direction. And Brian kind of steered us into the direction that has come to be known as the Love sound.
It was you of course were great contemporaries of the Doors, bigger than the Doors for a long, long time. Jim Morrison, I never got the Doors, if I'm honest, Johnny. I liked them for about 6 months when I was 15, and then I never got them. Can I ask a question that might seem rude? And I apologize if he was a friend of yours, right? But
please, he's a friend of mine, but please ask anything you like. I'll give you the best answer I can.
Okay. Was Jim Morrison a dick?
He was an asshole.
Thank you, Johnny.
He's my friend, so I liked him, but no, he just seemed to go out of his way to be that way. But that's the thing. Jim was very much into drink, you know, and he would, when he wasn't drinking, which is rarely, he was just the sweetest guy, but as soon as alcohol touched his lips, he just became that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, he was hard to deal with, hard to get along with, so unless you knew him and considered him a friend, you would just turn the other way if you saw him coming.
Johnny, I love you. I love you so much. You guys have recorded a new single, which is a thrill to see you guys still making new music. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was a song we started working on with Arthur, and then it just kind of was put on the back burner there for a while. And then we decided that we were going to put together some of the music, because there are several songs that at some point will probably be recorded and released. But this was the first couple that we got together, and I think it turned out very good. And Mike Randall and Rusty wrote the lyrics, and the group basically put together the sound, I think it's very good. I like it.
There's a lot of love. I often think that a lot of bands the American bands that perhaps didn't quite get the respect they deserve over there do a lot better over here. For example, the Beach Boys kind of stopped having hits in the States in 67, but they were still big over here. Mm-hmm. And they were, you know, I think Britain considered the Beach Boys artists long before America. Mm-hmm. And the same with Love. You know, I know you guys didn't come over in the first incarnation, but, you know, Forever Changes, even before it was kind of hip, was always being listed in one of the top 30 albums of all time that you must listen to before you die. Do you feel that perhaps Britain has more of a connection with your music than the States?
Absolutely. The people in Britain seem, first of all, you don't have as many distractions here as you do there. So they're much more involved in music. But I think the people here are more discerning. And just you can tell by playing in front of an audience. They will sing along with us, and just being interviewed by different people, they know more about the music than people in the States. But, you know, so we've always felt that this was our home away from home, and we always enjoyed coming here and playing for the people here because they appreciated our music and they understood us, which is, you know, it's hard to do because we were rather eclectic in the types of music that we played, so it wasn't something that you could just put in a bag. You know, we played all sorts of music. We were basically our own mixtape, you know.
Yeah, well, the thing about Love is you were a mixed-race band before there were any other really mixed-race bands. You had white bands, and you kind of had some black Motown acts, you know, maybe they have the Four Tops or something, but very rarely did you see black guys with guitars, and you never saw a mixed race band. Was that I mean, nowadays you kind of think nothing of it, although I can't think of too many. But when you're playing on the strip and stuff in sort of 64, 65, was that part of the draw? Did people come to see you because you looked different?
Yes, that was one of the reasons they came to see us, is because we were a group that reflected the society as a whole, the society in California anyway. And because of that, we were able to people here took us to heart more so than any other groups because of that. We reflected their attitudes, and we also reflected the society at large. And so it was purposeful. We did that on purpose. We wanted a group to, an American group, to be who we were and not, you know, be stuck in typecast as a soul group or R&B group. We wanted to play rock and whatever we felt like playing. We wanted to without being typecast. So it was a blessing, but it was also a curse.
Yeah.
Because there were many places in this country we couldn't play. All of the South and most of Middle America, you know, we were off limits. So it kind of held us back quite a bit. But it also, you know, gave us an insight into the character of the people,
yeah,
so to speak.
I'm going to let you go in a bit because I know that you're tired, but I have got a couple more questions if that's all right with you,
please.
Sir. But the first two albums are great. Love and Da Capo, they're great. And they, of course, they get overshadowed by Forever Changes because that is a masterpiece. But those first two albums are great. Do you remember the first time you guys walked into the recording studio to record the debut album? Do you remember the excitement, or was there an arrogance about you as a band?
No, that was excitement. We were really looking forward to it. And the thing was, we had played those songs every single night for well over a year. So we were well rehearsed, and we went in and just laid them down in one or two takes, most of them. But no, it was, we're finally getting the recognition that we felt from the record company.
Late Night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
Ended quicker than I thought it was going to end. I can only apologise, dear listener. We could have a whole Ruttles fest here if you wanted to, but we've got a blooming radio show to do. My name is Ian Lee. Who's the lady in the corner?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm Catherine Boyle.
Catherine Boyle.
I'm not a lady.
Catherine Boyle. We're joined by Tommy. Tommy's on the telephone. Good evening, Tom.
Good evening, Ian the cat.
Yes, hey. That's what can we do for you tonight, Tom? Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about last night. You had a fantastic piece right at the end. We did the Periscope.
Oh, the Periscope, and we found, excuse me, we found the young lady singer that she was recommended to me by our good friend Roger, and her name was Nikki Spafoni.
Yeah, that was fantastic.
She was great. She was great. Here's the thing, if you missed it, we did a couple of Periscope love bombs. You haven't done them for a while. And okay. We found this young lady, Acoustic Nikki, N-I-C-K-I, and we watched her playing a gig to a room of largely uninterested people who were requesting Bon Jovi. And we went and we listened to her for a bit, and she was delightful, I thought.
Yeah, it was great. The whole thing was great. I mean, you should do it more often.
Well, we haven't done them for a while, because I think we might have misunderstood some instructions from up on high. So, yeah, we will do it more often. It's a nice thing. Started doing them a couple of years ago, going around and finding people with hardly any viewers on Periscope and love-bombing them.
That sounds good.
Nice one, Tom. Anything else, mate?
Thank you.
Thank you very much indeed. There we go. Well, that was nice. A little summary of the last 20 minutes of yesterday's show. I like that. Good evening, dear listener. 03444991000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. I'm going to be honest. I've gone through the papers and online. There's not a lot. There's not a lot going on. And I don't really, I mean, it's been very brown heavy, this show recently. Very brown heavy. By brown, I mean fecal matter. And I don't want to be too lavatorial, but today, you know those round little cardboard things that cotton buds, earbuds, Johnson's earbuds come in. You know the things that, like, they've got a clear plastic lid and it's like a round cardboard thing and there's like 200 cotton buds in there. I had to do a poo in one of those today. I had to do a poo to be sampled by Britain's greatest medical minds. And you're not supposed to do it in the toilet. You've got to catch it. And that was the only thing I had. So I had to catch a poo earlier on today. Man alive, what a day. There's nothing more humiliating than holding a Johnson's cotton bud packet under your bum trying to catch a poo. I'm really sorry. We're going to go high brown a bit, but this is just my day. I had to do that. Then I had to scoop a little bit out and put it in a test tube. Then I had to get rid of the cotton bud thing. It turns out you couldn't clean it. I just spent a long time trying to clean it and put the cotton buds it back in. But anyway, it was a disaster. So I've had to throw nearly all of those cotton buds away. Then I went and had a blood test today, several blood tests today. I've got no idea. And while I was, the guy's putting the needle in my arm. And then someone pops their head around the curtain to ask about the water cooler and who collects the water. And he starts, the guy who's injecting me starts, I said, excuse me, mate, could you stop? And I said, this was my quote. It was done in a joking term. I wasn't being aggressive to a member of the National Health Service. It was done, I sensed the vibe and I knew I could get away with this. I said, excuse me, mate, could you stop effing talking to him about my, I mean, he's got a needle in my arm. And we all chuckled and we had fun. And then Friday, I'm going for an ultrasound. Now, ultrasound, that's what pregnant women have. Am I pregnant? Am I having a baby?
I could explain some things.
Wow. Imagine if the show had a baby. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's not a bad idea. Has someone got a new baby that we can have? I did this once. Absolute, right. When we had the eldest. And like maybe a month after he'd been born, I brought him into the show and it's me and Eloise and we did this whole thing and people totally bought into it. I said, Eloise, why have you brought a baby into the studio? Because I don't get paid enough, so I'm doing some babysitting on the side. And I went nuts. You can't babysit during the show. And this shows how great my eldest son will be, right? We're having this argument for about 10 minutes. And then she said, look, I promise you, he won't make a sound. Silence, silence, silence. Brilliant timing. The best timing. It was wonderful. But we should have a baby for the show. If someone's like having a baby tonight, there'll be someone listening. This is it. Idea number one. Someone will be having a baby tonight or this week, right? We want it. We want the baby for this show. Here's what we're going to do. First things first, we will not provide any financial support. Although, do you know what? We'll send a present on his birthday. Okay, we'll send a present on his birthday. We'll do that. We will name the baby. We will have, you can obviously call it what you want at home, but on the air.
But he'll have a real name and that will be the one we give it. And yeah, you can call it whatever
exactly.
You like.
Exactly. On the air is Baby Alan, boy or girl.
I want to call it Dean.
Dean is always the name of the hard kid that bullies other kids. one of my Japanese teachers about 10 years ago, she married a Scottish man. I can't remember her name. Anyway, they had a baby and they called it Alan. Baby Alan. I mean,
it's
a name.
You don't get any of those, do you?
I bet you do. Can we find out, Catherine? This is your first bit of research. Susan, I'll come to you in a minute. How many babies in Britain, male or female, were called Alan in 2018? You can find that stuff out. So we will name the baby and we want regular updates on the baby. We'll babysit the baby. If you can get the baby here one night, we will look after the baby. I'm excellent with babies, by the way. I'm the best. I am the best winder of babies going. Forget. Whoa. Okay. We got Susan on the line ready to go and we got Susan calling in. This is a Susan fest. And do you know what? Neither of them are that. Susan.
Oh.
Isn't it?
New Susans.
New Susans.
Newsons.
I'd like to shake the hand of the woman that made that line. Thank you very much indeed. Yes. So we want a baby for the show. If you've got a baby and you're bored of it, we want a baby, please.
Lenzies.
03444991000. Susan, and then Susan, we'll come to you in a second. This is the Late Night Alternative, every weeknight from 10, with Ian and Kath on Talk Radio.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
This is going to be fun, guys. It didn't work last time with blokes. It's going to work with women. Good evening, Susan.
Oh, good evening. I've got a couple of things to say.
Hang on a minute. Where's the other Susan?
I'm here.
I said good evening, Susan.
Hello, darling. Hello, sweetheart. Hello, good evening, Susan. Good evening.
Oh, hello.
Good evening, Catherine.
Hello, Susan.
We've got a four-line switchway here.
Four-line switchway? Is that like a double-ended, but four-ways? Oh, that would work.
Whatever it is.
Oh, there's two Susans. Right, let's go to the polite Susan first.
Okay, I hope everything goes well for you, right?
She's gone, the other one's gone. Yes, go on.
I hope everything goes well
for
you.
Thank you very much indeed.
And I've got, you know, you talk about a baby. Well, I've got this baby doll for my granddaughter. I got it early, it's for Christmas. But listen, she says things, listen. She does 16 baby sounds.
Wow.
Flip it. That is...
It's a theory that you were talking about a baby, and I've got this doll here, and...
I bet George is going to phone in a minute saying, "Noise, it was planned that you were going to talk about babies, because I was a baby once.
I know you were.
We were all babies once.
And you never know what you're going to grow into, do they, when they hold us in their arms?
Well, you grow into an adult. I think you know. That's going to be the thing. But you haven't got... that's great, Susan.
Ian, can I just ask one thing, if it's all right?
Of course it's all right.
Just in case anyone's listening.
Yeah, well...
I arrange charity talks, and I'm looking for an author to give a talk on ghosts, hauntings, anything about Borley Rectory, anything like that. And I wonder if anyone's listening tonight, could they get through to the operator? They're welcome to talk to me.
You mean Sam is the operator, right?
Whoever's on tonight.
Sam is the operator.
And I live in Essex, so it would be in Essex if they can do it. And we do pay for their travelling costs and that.
Okay, Susan, we do have a lot of lots of people who are into the supernatural. Borley Rectory, you know Borley Rectory, Catherine?
No.
The most haunted place in Britain. It burnt down, didn't it?
Oh, yeah, the actual building, but the grounds are there. I haven't been there for a good while, but I used to visit there when we did our hunting.
Did you ever get the willies in Borley Rectory?
Not really, but it's a lovely place to visit.
Well, stay there, Susan, because we're going to play a game in a minute, inspired by someone on Twitter.
All right.
Called Krista, who we're going to play Lazy Susan's in a minute. But let's go to the ill-mannered, annoying Susan.
Oh, thank you. Susan, I love the baby doll and the way that the baby talks, because I love baby talking. Yeah, it's cute.
I got that from Facebook. It was for sale. It's brand new. Yeah. I got it for my granddaughter for Christmas. I'm putting it away soon.
Sweetheart, that's amazing. Does she wear a little nappy? Does she have a little dolly's bottle to feed the baby?
She's got a dummy. She's a soft-blooded doll, but I like, as you say, it's got 16... It says 16 things, do you know the baby? So.
Yeah. Oh, sweetheart, she'll love it. She'll absolutely love it.
Yeah.
Are you thinking of calling it Susan?
She might do.
Oh, that's a lovely name.
She probably will.
Do you like being a Susan? I love it.
Yeah, well, I was born in the 50s, you see, so I think Susan was out more in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it?
I was born in the 40s, love, I wouldn't know.
Oh, were you? Oh, well, it doesn't really matter, does it?
I'm ancient!
And there's so many ways you can spell it as well, isn't there?
Yeah.
Susan, it's got a Z in it.
Do you remember Susie and the Banshees?
Yeah, I like all those sort of songs, yeah.
Weren't they punky, though?
Pardon?
Weren't they punky, though?
I used to like that sort of music when I was younger. I wasn't a punk rocker, but I like listening to it now sometimes.
You're a raver. You're a raver.
No, but I like dancing. I do like dancing and all that. Yeah.
Fun.
But I always hear you when you're on, you know, when I listen to you, when I listen to James Well and that. And
don't I go on, though?
I know. No, it's nice hearing people talk.
Well, you're lovely.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And you are as well. It's nice listening to people talking.
Yeah. Susie and the Banshees, the Susie there was spelt with an X, and it was named after one of the Native American tribes of India. It was actually very important. It had an X in it. So
that's interesting.
Yeah, people don't call their baby girl Susan anymore, do they? Or Jane. Jane was a nice one.
Yeah, I've got a cousin, Jane. Yeah, she's a lovely girl. Very nice. She's a bit younger than me, but again, that, as you say, you don't hear that now, do you, so much?
Sweetheart, I just want to talk to, I don't know whether you've got any friends or nephews or whatsoever, but Ian, if a white boy marries a Chinese girl, they have really pretty babies.
Yes, I bet that is a good combination, isn't it?
The best! Well, what are you doing for the rest of the night, then?
I know somebody, only through my daughter, a friend of hers, his dad is English, but his mum is Chinese, and he doesn't look, you know, like a Chinese person. He doesn't look like Chinese at all. He looks like more Mediterranean.
Mm.
Very, very unusual, if you know what I mean. It's, yeah.
Exotic. I like him exotic. Do you, Susan?
Yeah, really does. You would never know he would... You would never know he was actually half Chinese.
Hmm. Fancy.
So, yeah. It's unusual, isn't it?
Yeah.
Really is unusual. And he's very nice as well. He's a nice person.
Well, that's good then.
Yeah.
What are you doing for the rest of the night, Susan?
Well, my bedroom is in a bit of a mess. I've got, because I'm going on holiday soon.
Oh.
And going to Wales. I've never been to Wales before.
Wales or Wells?
Capel Cruid, is it? Capel something. Capel Cruid. It's right out in the northern part. We've got a cottage we're hiring, and it's animal friendly, dog friendly.
You got room for a small one, Susan?
Pardon? What, my dog?
Me!
The dog is not very big. If you talk about the dog. Are you talking about the dog?
Darling, this isn't me. Catherine's doing an imitation of my voice and it's getting complicated, but don't worry.
Sorry,
about
there's two of you talking. Oh, I didn't realise. Sorry.
No, it's Catherine. I'm doing
late.
But Catherine is imitating me, so it's all
right.
Getting...
Don't... Okay.
Catherine's teasing you, sweetheart.
That's all right. That's okay.
Oh, she's a trickster. This is the real Susan.
It's like Halloween, isn't it?
Scarier.
Yeah. Yeah, it's scary. The doll's just laying here and it doesn't shut its eyes. It's got its eyes open all the time. But it's a pretty doll. It's a pretty doll.
It's watching you, Susan.
Yeah, I know.
Give her a press and see
might
what
have,
she says.
Things might happen like with the other one, that doll that Ian was talking about.
If I get off the phone, Catherine can imitate me to you, Susan.
Yeah, all right.
The three of us done out of here. We're not getting anywhere. It's just getting silly. Quite
That's
silly.
All right. Is Ian there?
Who's that? Hello?
Ian?
No, it's me, yeah. Ian speaking.
Where's Hello? Ian, the other one, on the radio?
I don't know where the other one is. Are you the one who likes punk music?
Pardon?
Do you like punk music?
What I can remember, I liked some of them, you know. I can't remember them all now, but because I like dancing and that. I like the beats and the sounds of it, you know. So, and I think a lot of the 70s and 80s music is different. That type of it's different to the music you've got nowadays. You know, so. I like, I can't remember her name now, who sang New Toy. Oh, what is her name?
That was
Nina Lovitch.
Visage.
Yeah. Yeah, she's, I
Sue
like,
Strange.
She was very
Sue
good.
Strange. Sue Strange was the lead singer.
Oh, was it? Oh, right.
Yeah. But anyway, I've got a song about Buzzcocks for you. Do you want to hear it?
All right.
Go
yeah,
ahead,
okay.
No, it's good. Turn it up a little bit for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear that?
No. Can't hear anything.
Tell you what I mean. I say that comes to my mind. Can you hear that?
I can hear a bit of it, yeah. Yeah, I can now.
Straight line, you know me, I'm acting dumb. You've seen the humdrum. Boredom, boredom.
Oh, yeah, I remember that, yeah. I remember, I used to play in the early 80s when I had my... Yeah, I remember that.
The year Anarchy in the UK come out.
Yeah, I just had all different...
Do you want me to turn it off?
Yeah, okay, if you can.
Yeah, of course I can. There you go.
kicked off. So anyway, what other music? Do you like the Clash and the Damned and that, and the Jam?
Yeah, they were all very, yes, yep.
Stranglers?
Yeah, Stranglers, yeah.
Good, weren't they?
They were. It was, yeah, it was all good music. Yeah, who's that other one, the passenger? The dark-haired woman. Oh, what was it called? Happy House. You sang Happy House?
Yeah, Susie, wasn't it? Susan Band Shows.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember now.
Playground Swift, do you remember that?
No. Right. I don't remember every single thing. But I do. I remember playing a lot of the music, especially when I was younger. And well, that's when we had the music, you know, the 80s.
Have you ever heard the Anti Nowhere League?
No, I don't. Unless I hear it, I wouldn't remember it.
Not to sing that. You wouldn't know that them words.
No, no. So I was in mixture. I like Gloria Estefan when she came out. You know, when she was younger.
Oh, anyway, going off the subject. I wanted to hope Ian's okay. Really.
Pardon?
He hasn't. I'm trying to find out if Ian's all right as well.
Yeah.
Can't let one rip.
Yeah. I don't know where he is at the moment.
Funny. You know, he's got a trouble.
The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03444991000. Good evening, Alan.
Hi, Mark.
Good evening, Alan. What can we do for you tonight?
I just want to say I missed my first call back in 2 weeks.
Okay, yep.
How are you?
I'm okay. I'm not feeling very well at the moment.
I'm so sorry. What happened, mate?
Yeah, well, I'm all right. I'm getting some tests done. It'll be fine. I panicked a little bit yesterday when they said that I might have an incurable cancer. Just for some reason, that kind of made me panic. But I think it's just a stomach bug. I'm getting some tests done. They're going to do some tests. It's going to be fine. They're going to give me some... I reckon they will inject me and they will make me better.
Very good. We've had some bad news on the allotment today.
Oh, no. You've not found another body?
No, but the shed was broken into.
Uh-oh. What, your dad's old porno's got nicked?
No, both his drills.
Both his thrills?
No, drills.
I ordered a hedge trimmer. Is that what you call it?
Hedge trimmer.
I ordered a hedge trimmer today. It's like 140 quid.
Was it on Amazon?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Yeah.
Well, I'm ordering something on Amazon today.
If it was a hedge trimmer, I'm going to shoot myself in the eye.
It's a Bluetooth headset.
Oh, what? Not for...
The mobile.
Yeah, not for when you phone us, though, is it, Alan?
It will be.
It will be. No, it won't.
Because you don't like Bluetooth.
I tell you what, we'll try it, and I bet it sounds rubbish.
Well, I haven't got it yet. I've only just ordered it. It won't be here till July. I only paid 8p for it.
Catherine, over to you.
8p.
Yeah, 8p, Kath.
Right. Are you sure it's going to be like a life-size one and not one for a dolly?
Dolly?
No, it would be to stick in my ear to use with a mobile phone.
And tag me, I want to come in. It was 8p.
Yeah, with 3.99p.
Okay, and what makes you think an 8p Bluetooth headset is going to be any good?
Because I went to reviews and they've got 4 stars.
Okay, well in that case it'll be fine. But it's not coming into, is it, you say it's not coming till July, that would imply it's coming from China.
Yeah.
If you could get some semen with that and then put it inside a Caucasian woman, then you're going to have beautiful babies.
Apparently, yes.
The best.
Well, I'm not sure. We'll probably see him down the casino when we're older.
Okay, you see him down the casino when you're older. Okay.
No, I'm talking about the Chinese baby.
Chinese baby. Okay. Okay.
Are they gambling a lot then, Chinese babies? I didn't know about that particular characteristic.
Well, we know the Chinese. When I'm in Birmingham City Centre and I go by the casino, the Chinese people love to spend all their money in there.
It's not racist. It's not racist. The Chinese love a good old gamble. They love a good spend up.
Yeah.
I love it.
And that's why red is their lucky colour.
But again, it doesn't make sense what you said, but again, 8p for a Bluetooth headset. I just wonder, how is the company making profit out of that?
Because it's £3.99 postage and packaging.
Great. Thank you very much indeed. That's Alan Caddick there, back after a 2-week ban. And can I just say, that 2 weeks really has done him the world of good. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number. If you want to give us a call, you'd be very, very welcome. Let's go to Catherine. Good evening, Catherine.
Hi, Ian.
Hello, Catherine.
Hi, Catherine, number one. Are you all right? Are you feeling okay, Ian?
I'm okay. I'm feeling okay. I'm not feeling great. I felt a bit rough this afternoon. But also, Kath has pointed out that now I'm very anxious because I'm waiting for tests and stuff.
Yeah, so you're worrying because I know it's like every 3 months I have to go for the CT scan and also the ECG and MRI.
Yeah.
And they terrify me, all three of them. They really terrify me. And the worst part is waiting for the results.
Yeah.
But, you know what?
I'm looking forward to having an ultrasound. It's not something men get to have too often. I'm looking forward to it. I want to, and I am going to ask them not to tell me the sex.
Oh, well, good for you.
I don't want to know the sex. I want it to be a surprise. There's so few surprises in life these days.
You've got to make your own sometimes.
Yes.
Can you tell me why? What sort of scan you're having? Are you having the one that's... You've got to drink the liquid an hour before.
No, I'm not allowed. No, I don't think so. It's 9:15 on Friday morning. I'm not allowed to eat for 6 hours before, which is fine.
Right,
I'll be asleep.
Yeah.
And I can only drink queer liquids. Gosh. Wow. That would be something. I can only drink clear liquids, which again could work with queer liquids. I don't know. So I don't know. I don't think.
Right.
No, I'm not drinking the magic radiation drink, I don't think.
Okay. Well, best of luck for that.
Thank you very much.
What I'm phoning in about is the lady that wanted somebody to give a talk on ghosts.
Ooh.
Ah, that was one of the Susans.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I would like to offer my services.
Where was Susan?
Essex,
yeah.
Okay.
And I'm Hertfordshire.
Is that near? I don't know counties.
Yeah, it's not too far, depending on where she is in Essex.
So, Sam, can you get first Susan back on?
Don't get the wrong one, though, Sam.
Yeah, because we've got her here already, the second one. Get first Susan back on, and we will see. Because you, of course, were like a ghost hunter. Did you make love to a ghost once, or did I imagine
that?
No. She got blown off by a ghost.
Oh, you do make me laugh. No, I didn't. But we had a, before I got diagnosed, we had our own group for about 8 years.
Swingers.
Okay. Yeah. But you've never seen a swinging ghost, have you?
dirty, just waving its chains all over the place like some horny little thing. Wait, hang on a second. We've got Susan.
Hello.
We might have found a speaker for you.
Yeah, I heard. Oh, that'd be great. If you can do it, I'd be very grateful.
Well, hang on a minute. I love the way. Yeah, we'll take her. You don't know. She might. She could be a murderer. She could be a bullshiner.
My husband introduces the speakers anyway.
Oh, so he can defend you?
Yeah.
Oh, no, so he can handle.
But you don't want to know her qualifications or anything?
No, honestly, anyone that... I mean, it doesn't even have to be an author. Anyone that's interested in... who can give talks, they're very welcome.
This is very exciting. Catherine, have you given talks before?
No, sorry.
Catherine, number two. That was my fault. I apologise.
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.
0344-499-1000 is the telephone number. Over to Catherine Boyle, live in the studio.
Yeah, I'm trying to drag Valerie down, but it won't pop down. Hang on a sec. What's going on here?
Right.
No one works, then. Is this the famous phone?
Double click on it.
Yeah, no, hang on a minute. Here we go. Valerie, are you there?
Good evening.
There she is.
Yes, I'm here. Good evening.
Hey, Valerie. What's going on?
How are you this evening?
Very well, thanks. You're not the Valerie I thought you were going to be. I thought you were going to be Valerie asking for a photo of Ian. That was a Valerie, wasn't it, Ian?
I believe it was, yes.
What can we do for you, other Valerie?
I'm a Valerie from the United States calling in.
I did detect a little accent.
my husband's the author.
Aha, Ian.
I'm holding the mic, Valerie. I was wondering, he didn't get a chance to ask you the other night. He wanted to know if he could play a song for you on the guitar that he named after his book that's recently published.
Yes, he can. I'm holding the book in my hands now. I'm sniffing it. The book arrived today, and I might be reading some passages from it later on. Catherine, would you like to hear a song from Sir Uriel Enoch Sinclair?
Would I ever?
Take it away, guys.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah.
Song's called. I named this song after my secondly published book called The Chronicles of the Wizard of Avalon. It goes like this.
Thank you.
Dave's tweet. Jesus, how many false endings does this song have?
Oh.
Oh. It's going techno.
The Chronicles of the Wizard of Avalon. I was named after my second newly published book, and I wrote another one called The King of Poetry, but I didn't know if we had enough time to play that one or not. So
no,
we know I could play it another time, but I just wanted to
let's keep it special
because I meant to ask you the last time we talked to you on the telephone, and we didn't get a chance, and your producer said I guess you didn't have enough time.
Yeah, we're taking one call at a time. Yeah, but that's for you. Yeah. Wow. That's for you guys. You're the first
thank
one
you
to
guys.
Hear it other than me.
That is, and that must be a relief for you. That is wonderful. This guy, that's actually longer than the book. It takes longer to play that than it is to read the book. You guys are brilliant. We love you. Thank you so much. I think we all need a little break.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
Unfiltered Night Talk with the original king of unconventional conversation. The best of Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
03444991000. That reminds me a lot. Sam, after the news at midnight, could you find Dudley Moore Beethoven Sonata Parody? It reminds me of that. It's up on YouTube, and we'll play that after midnight. But before...
Oh, no, come on, you're not... reminded me of when your mum says you have to wait until she's finished talking.
Oh, I like that. I thought he, I like that, that family.
Did he write that down? Two. That's the big question. I want to see the,
well,
I want to see the sheet music
well,
for that.
Well, well, well. I have got the, I have got his, here we go. Let's open this. This is the Chronicles of the Ancient Wizards of Avalon. Sorry, I'm not even talking into the microphone. I'm just going to open it at a random page. Merlin said, I don't blame you for being doubtful and scared. You are only so human. In any case, for any face, you are welcome, my queen, for you are loving, understanding, and fair. Alicia said,
Alicia?
Thank you, Merlin. Alicia. The old druid said, you're welcome, my queen. I'll let you go for now, because I know you have duties at home waiting. Alicia said, you're right, Merlin. Thank you for taking time to talk to me, sir. Merlin said, as usual, my lady, it was an honour and pleasure. Lightning came out of the sky and struck the ground next to him. Merlin the Magnificent disappeared into thin air. Air, not hair. Alicia went home and cooked dinner. And King William the Fourth just walked through the front door and said, my queen, I'm home!
Oh my God!
Alicia was just taking the cast iron crock pot out of the wood stove.
A crock pot?
Alicia said,
isn't she a queen? Why is she handling crock pots?
I'm here, my love! William opened up the kitchen doors, came in, wrapped his arm around Alicia and gave her a big hug. He said, hello, my sweet. How have you been? How was your day? Alicia told her husband about the conversation she'd had with Merlin the Magnificent and everything they both said, as well as how he appeared in front of her when they first met and how he disappeared into thin air after they were through talking. King William the Fourth was impressed. Her husband said, it sounds Merlin was trying to get to know you and give you some concerned advice for me to improve my strategy, tactics, and techniques for future possible but not inevitable war. Oh, that's a great line. To improve my tactics for future possible but not inevitable war. He needs not to worry, for I have consulted with expert politicians and businessmen about strategic negotiations for future, more improved foreign policy. I have been secretly studying psychology, sociology, and public relations to increase my education of Great Britain, the United Kingdom.
Public relations.
last bit of this page. This is incredible. Alicia said, really, my love? I did not know. I should have made a posher, but we're stuck with the voice now. Before you graduate, congratulations, my husband. I now love you even more. William hugged and kissed Alicia and said, thank you, my wife and queen. I would still love you, even if you didn't congratulate me, because I love you even more. Oh, there we go. Oh, hang on. Hang on a minute. Hang on a minute. Where is this book set, right? Because then we jump forward a bit. So they have their dinner. William and Alicia ate for an hour, went to the bathroom, took baths, flossed and brushed their teeth, put on deodorant, put on their pyjamas and went to bed.
Wow.
Night left and morning came. It was a beautiful day just the same.
You but, know, you don't get that level set? Of detail about people's ablutions in historical fiction, so...
When is that...
deodorant.
When is this set? They flossed. Oh. But when is this book set? This book is set in the olden days,
well,
right?
Well, you don't get many Alicias in the olden days.
Oh, this is a great line. Listen to the detail here.
All right.
I've just gone to another bit. George and Peter were studying to be college professors. John was studying to be a scholar, a poet, a musician, a writer, and a shaman.
Is this going
to
be a mathematical puzzle? The... if one takes five
no,
minutes.
It's going to be a very precise... It's going to be a very precise location. The difference in the geographic location of the brothers' education was that the other six brothers went to the same school, Cambridge University, in Trinity Lane, Cambridge, CB2, 1TM, United Kingdom.
Oh, that's gorgeous.
Hang on, right. Hang on a minute. You know they just flossed.
Yeah.
Right? Well, according to the first page of this, this book is set in the year of our Lord, AD 562.
Oh, wow.
And wow, this is incredible. Oh, I'm going to enjoy this book. The Chronicles of the Ancient Wizards of Avalon, Sir Uriel Enoch Sinclair. Go and buy this book, guys. This is going to be an absolute treat.
What would they have been flossing with in the year of our Lord 500 and whatever it was? Rope?
pig's clitoris? a thread of lamb's wool that had been urinated on by a virgin?
Any of those things. Whatever was handy.
any of those things.
Wow. can I read that when you finish with it, please?
Yes, you can. I'll finish it tonight. It's not very long. Where are we? What are we doing? What's that? Catherine, you talk. I've talked too much, please. Thank you.
I don't think I can talk after that. Oh, here we go. I've got a few little bits and bobs. We've got a call. Do you want to talk to James?
If you want to take calls, it's up to you. Go on. You go ahead. You're controlling the studio.
I can't control the studio. It don't work. Do you want one? Do you want one or not?
Yeah, go on, Kath. Give me one.
I can't. I couldn't if I wanted to. It won't work. Hang on.
We're going to have to wait for Sam to...
No, just drag him down.
I can't. It won't work. I'm going to have to shut this down and restart it at some point. Hello, James. Talk to Ian.
How are you doing? I'm just evening to you guys. I just wanted to see how Ian got on. I spoke to him the other night about the problem you were having, Ian.
I'm all right. I didn't feel well enough to drive in. I sort of feel all right now, but all day I felt very, very tired and very nauseous. And I phoned Kath up at 6 and said, I can do the show, but I just can't. I don't think I can drive for an hour and a half. It's going to kill me.
Spoke a couple of nights ago. I said, you know, I had the same problem. Since October last year, we spoke a couple of nights ago.
I remember you, the man who can't eat cheese anymore.
That's right, the cheese guy.
This troll. I'm doing all right. I had the blood tests yesterday, and I took my poo in to be studied yesterday. I've got an ultrasound tomorrow. I'm really confident now. I did panic a bit. I'm really confident it's not cancer, which is
one of the things
the two doctors suggested. It's not cancer. It's just wearing me out, man. I'm so tired, and I felt really ill all day. I just want it, whatever it is. Tell me what it is. Tell me if I have to take pills. Well, tell me if I have to cut something out. Whatever. I mean, I just want to do it. I just want to feel normal.
Yeah, it's just I think you'll find it'll be exactly the way I'd hope it is. What I had, it's just that your body just doesn't absorb any fats anymore. So you'd have to get on some gluten-free toast and poached eggs for a week, and you'll be absolutely, you know, you'll be back to normal-ish. But you'll never be back to normal. I'm still not back to normal. Just left Bath now after a nice meal in the Ivy. But it's, you know, have to be very careful what you eat. Full stop.
Hang on a minute. What famous people did you see at the Ivy? The only time I went to the Ivy.
Bath.
I went to the Ivy restaurant once and George Michaels was in there, but that's the only, that was it.
Michaels.
George Michaels, the pop singer, the Greek...
It's Michael.
George Michaels.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is everyone... What?
I think it's Michaels, isn't it?
George Michaels? Why is... you know the guy. Because you gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Yeah. I gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. Baby, you gotta have faith. You really gotta have faith now. Gotta have faith, the faith, the faith. That guy, George Michaels.
Yeah, it was Michael. Yeah. Anyway,
wake me up before you go. I'm not planning on going solo. Wake me up before you go, 'cause you gotta have faith. Thank you very much, James. Thank you, James. Appreciate that. 03444991000. Here's a song I wrote.
Oh, here we go.
I want to dedicate this to all of the great reggae stars that have gone before us. Oh, I remember reggae, listening to those fat old tunes. I used to love listening to reggae music on rainy afternoons. And I say thank you, Bob Marley, Shaka, Demus and Pliers.
Pato Banton.
Thank you, Pato Banton, Sid Owen and John Alford, 'cause we love reggae, we love reggae. The sounds of Jamaican beats
We love reggae, we love reggae. Yeah, man, reggae is really neat.
Word.
It's my tribute to stars of reggae. We probably play some adverts here, I think.
Late night conversation. Worth losing sleep over.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Well, Catherine, yeah. Some good news. After years of analysis and study, I have finally, and I can say this categorically now, I have finally concluded that my favourite Kardashian is Khloe.
Oh, okay.
It's Khloe Kardashian is my favourite Kardashian. I didn't want to, I've been asked this a lot, and I didn't want to rush to, I didn't want to rush to any conclusions. I didn't want to jump in, but I've been really studying this a lot, and it's Khloe Kardashian.
Yeah, well, she's a good one. She is one of the good ones, Khloe Kardashian. Good choice.
Some sad news. It looks like Jim Corr from The Corrs is a nutcase.
Why?
It looks like, let me just find the tweet. I'm going to read you some tweets from Jim Corr. Okay. Here we go.
Oh.
From Jim Corr.
Right.
What if we were, it's from The Corrs. What if we, this is the fit one from The Corrs. What if we were actually meant to get mild childhood illnesses like measles so as to help prime our immune systems into fighting much greater diseases in later life? You see, he's arguing against vaccinationes.
Uh-oh.
I'm trying. Here we go. Here we go. I've got some more.
Here's another one. Jim Corr talks about his journey to a no vote in the abortion campaign.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's, he's done, oh, he's done a bit of,
Speaking as a former fetus, says Jim Corr, I'm against the killing of babies.
He didn't say that.
Yes, he did. That's a tweet from Jim Corr on the 9th of May last year.
Speaking as a former fetus?
Yeah, then, he's posted a picture. It's a picture of a door. You know those doors, like old office doors with glass, and it's got words printed on it to indicate what is behind the door.
Yeah.
And it says, Bureau of Imaginary Problems, Climate Change Division.
Oh, Jim.
This is from the 25th of June this year, so a couple of days ago. Jim Corr of The Corrs. People are waking up to the dangerous Russian roulette aspect of vaccination. We're told repeatedly they're safe. In truth, they're lucrative. While the US government has paid out $4 billion in damages for vaccine injury. And final one from Jim Corr of The Corrs. Picture of Donald Trump. The more I get to know of this man, the more I like and respect him. No wonder the establishment media hates him and want you to hate him too. Real Donald Trump is the real deal. And I hope for the sake of the US and the world, he gets reelected. That's Jim Corr of The Corrs, officially a fruitcake.
So he doesn't believe the medical profession. He doesn't believe meteorologists. He doesn't believe the media, but he likes the arch liar and grabber of women, Donald Trump. Okay, yeah, seems legit.
Jim Corr.
What a plum.
The flipping cause. one of my favourite Ali G things, I don't really remember much Ali G, but one of my favourite things was when he was in Northern Ireland and he says I don't know, it's someone from Sinn Féin or I don't know who it was, if it was Michael McGuinness or someone like that. Would you die for the cause? Oh, yes, of course I'd die for the cause. Well, yeah, well, the singer's pretty fit, but the rest of them, you know, it was, it's a very silly line. Kath, what have you got? Have we got any phone calls?
Yeah, do you want to talk to Andy? Here's Andy.
You talk to Andy, go on.
Hang on. Hello, Andy.
Oh, gorgeous guys. How are you?
Hey, is that Andy? Dirty Andy.
How are you? You doing?
Dirty Andy.
Listen, I just wanted to give you a quick call just to say how much I enjoyed the first bit and all that kind of stuff. But you mentioned the Mandela effect, and it sounded like you were going to a place where I hoped you were going, Ian.
Oh, where were you going, Ian?
I don't honestly know if you did.
I went there. I did it. I gave my conclusion. If you didn't hear it, then you're affected by the man. No, the theory that is doing the rounds and is the one that works for me is the Mandela effect, is moments when we split off into different timelines.
Yes, that's the one. I was hoping you'd go there. I didn't hear you go there, you see.
Oh, I did go there. If you missed it, then that's the Mandela effect.
Well, that's what it is.
Sorry, I've just got a pube on my battery charge, my phone charger for my battery. I know why, actually. It's the phone charger for my battery, a battery charge for my phone. Right, so do you're buying the theory of alternate timelines and dimensions splitting off and branching off?
Well, I didn't, but somewhere maybe in a parallel universe, the whatever that song was called, the Wazix of Asparagus Mountain, or whatever it's called, maybe that's still playing. And maybe in our timeline, you know, we'll come across it one time again in the future. You never know. You never know.
Okay. Cut this guy off. He's insane, Catherine. Get rid of him. Absolutely insane. What was that about?
Late night, Ian Lee on Talk Radio. We'll get you talking.